MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm chatting with Mark Diogo. He is CEO at BitExon. Mark, appreciate the time, the draft capital flow management regulations. There's been a fair bit of concern around this, but National Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank had issued an updated statement on this new regulation. Talk me through what the concerns were and what they've said to alleviate those concerns, if they have, to your mind.
Fantastic, Simon. Thanks for having me on. So originally the concerns from, as you say, the rolls off the tongue, but the draft capital management flow regulations. So we were looking at coming down a couple of months ago and concerning the industry and the wider public of crypto, whether they're holding some Bitcoin, whether they're holding these alternative coins, these stable coins in their own private self-custody wallet. The concern was that maybe Treasury could come and seize those and take them from you, maybe offer you fair market value, maybe determine its own value. Furthermore, if you're passing through an airport, you're crossing a border, you're about to take your USB stick out of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Or perhaps seed phrase you have written loosely on your person. Could they check you for it and capture it? As the next stage to that became the market reaction, the public commentary period, then a further clarification, public media statement that came down from National Treasury in conjunction with the Reserve Bank, just clarifying that they hadn't intended the draft regulations to capture and seize possession of the average crypto user. Really, their focus was on demonstrable illicit activity, potential crime, and really just going after what they had reasonable grounds of suspicion on, and not just Joe Public.
Gotcha. I mean, I've got my crypto in cold storage. It's on a USB stick. I don't take it on holiday with me, but if I did, I would not be, you know, wanting to give it to suddenly to some sort of National Treasury or airport officials. But crypto assets are formally classified as capital for cross-border purposes.
Yeah, correct. And this is where I think we're going to see legislation evolve, and BitExon itself, we operate in multiple regulated territories outside of South Africa, entering the market and working with the regulation that's available, but also seeing how that's changing over time. And I think what we're going to see is a really what it's pointing to in this draft legislation, as well as the public comment that I've seen so far, is different states of cryptocurrency. So some are more cash equivalent, whether it's stable coin, some are more potentially gold or store of value equivalent like Bitcoin. But then we're seeing more emergent, what we might call real-world asset tokenization projects, or DeFi, decentralized finance protocols. And I think that's why we're going to see a definite distinction between what's capital and what's a different, maybe not a security, but a quasi sort of financial instrument that lives on the blockchain, and maybe different rules for different purposes.
Yeah, because that's just it. I mean, because the blockchain doesn't complicate it. Blockchain is at the heart of crypto, at the heart of DeFi. But I mean, it has implications for someone who moves rands into Bitcoin locally. And then, you know, I could exit that in New York or London and Paris and in sterling, pounds or dollars. And that has the Treasury, I imagine, somewhat concerned.
Yeah, we saw that with the legal case with Standard Bank as well. I mean, there's definitely eyeballs pointing at this. And I know via or firsthand sometimes of people bringing cryptocurrency in and out of the country and using it. And while it was a gray area, yeah, people made up buying their own conscience. But now we're seeing legislation step in. I think it's perfectly warranted to give the community, the man on the street, some clarity and some trust with organizations such as BitExon, where they're regulated and they are insured. They have partnerships with other service providers that tick the same boxes.
Yep.
And if you're doing a cross-border transaction, if legislation encourages you to use these crypto asset service providers that are doing the reporting required by the Financial Intelligence Center, that are following the FSCA rules and compliance, yes, they're capturing data, and it might seem a little bit, well, that wasn't what crypto was designed for. Crypto was power to the person and self-custody. But if you're working in the real economy and flowing through, you've also got to play by the law of the land.
100%. And that perhaps, I mean, for the person listening out there who's got some crypto as an investor, maybe, as you say, it's a stablecoin, maybe it's a store of wealth, maybe it's one of the tokenized DeFi stocks that we're seeing. The process perhaps for me isn't going to be markedly different. This really is more what's happening behind the scenes, which is often the case in a regulatory environment. And I've had this conversation with other crypto experts. This kind of is the category growing up as legislation catches up to it.
Correct. And as you'll know firsthand with blockchain technology, these smart contracts and protocols that exist, and there's a bit of an industry jargon out there. But at the same time, I like to think of it, it sounds slightly dystopian, but it's almost programmable compliance. We can create this technology in such a way where the transaction monitoring can be automated and it can be reporting and should actually make the customer experience or the journey of being a cryptocurrency investor or you wanting to make a payment from South Africa to your homeland in Zimbabwe, you can do it automated, cheaper, quicker, and then all the reporting's done automatically. I think that's the state that we will emerge at. And that's really what we're thriving for as BitX and as an infrastructure provider.
That's actually a great point. And I hadn't thought of that, of course, because, you know, I mean, what's Bitcoin now? 16, 17 years old? I mean, this is new cutting edge. The big banks have got, you know, ledgers in their basement that are 100 plus years old. This really is saying the tech is there. This is a modern financial asset, modern financial instrument. And there's a lot more that we can do with it as the legislation catches up.
Correct. We use the balance of payments system, which is through the Reserve Bank, through the authorized dealers. Maybe there's a future state with cryptocurrency exchanges being like a digital authorized dealer or a authorized dealer limited authority, is the ability to help these cross-border transactions flow quickly, provide liquidity, and provide better pricing. But the instant settlement's key for a lot of people wanting to send money overseas, whether it's holidays, purchases, invoices between corporates. There's a way to unlock a lot of value stuck in Africa and let it move quicker. And I think this technology can enable us to do that. But maybe we just need to upgrade our systems in the background. And that's what the Reserve Bank needs to be spending a bit of time doing. Someone smarter than me needs to create a digital balance of payments for.
Yeah.
Have it automated.
Yep, 100%. I like that. Quicker and cheaper, moving it around. And maybe the Saab needs some catching up, but we'll leave it there. Public Comics move to the end of June, so you still have time to talk. That's Mark Diogar. He is CEO of BitNex. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by StandLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.